How many have been finding pleasure in the Lord?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How many have realized and are getting to know more and more how pleasurable the Lord is? We've been talking about the pleasure and the pleasures of loving God. Loving God, actually loving God. You know, isn't that the greatest commandment of all? To love God. Not in a legalistic obligation, but in a loving, you know, desire of the heart kind of love. A passion for Him. Yeah, and so you got to know how good He is and how loving He is, because you cannot know God and not love God. And the more that we come to know Him, the more that we will love Him. So what we want to do is get to know Him. And God gave us His Word. Amen? He gave us the written Word so that we may come to know the living Word. He gave us the privilege and the opportunity of prayer. And it is a privilege that we have, that Jesus had opened the heavens for us to come into the throne of grace. Amen? The throne of our Father. To come into really the intimate chamber where only privileged guests were allowed to go. And that would be the wine cellar, the banquet hall. He took me to His banqueting room. His banner over me had the inscription, love, as we make our grand entry as the bride. Amen. Into the place of the marital wine chamber where we have intimacy with the Lord. And we are to worship Him in spirit and in truth. The Father is seeking those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Not in formalism, amen? But in a reality, in a real sense, a relationship with the living God. And as we're tasting and experiencing His goodness, it creates hunger and thirst for more of His goodness. Amen. How many like to be around certain people in your life? Certain people that you just like hanging out with because they're pleasurable. And when you start to build an acquaintance and you begin to get familiar with people, you know, as you develop your relationship, it gets sweeter, doesn't it? You know, if it's a good relationship, it gets sweeter as the days go by. And we sing that song, you know, He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. So we need to be head over heels, just passionately in love with our God. Amen. And He is so pleasurable and He's so worthy of our praise. You know what? You don't have to force praise when you experience Him. Experiencing God automatically produces praise. And it comes often through just being thankful. Now, you know, I want to call today's message, and I've used this before, but it is a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And in the past, I've talked about the faith in God and then faith of God. How many remember that? Faith in and then faith of. There's a faith that God gives that we all have a natural faith. We all have, right? We can do what we want with our faith. You sat in that pew. You decided to use your faith to sit in that pew today. You didn't check it out before you sat in it. You knew that it was going to hold you. And so there's that faith, which can be in a lot of ways, maybe even an intellectual faith, you know, where we believe in certain things. We trust in the Lord, and trusting in the Lord doesn't take a lot of necessary action other than just believing that what God says is true. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Faith in God is believing what He said. What God says is good. Amen. His word is good.
Amen.
He's not a man that He should lie. He's a good God. He's faithful. He's true in all of His ways. So I put my faith in God, and I can be born again through the redemption in Jesus. Amen. By putting my faith and my trust in what God has promised me in His Word through the sacrifice of Jesus. Jesus said, those who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Do you believe that today? Simple childlike faith gives us access to Him. It's not difficult. It's simple. If you want to really learn how to come to God, a lot of times you can just look at a child, how trusting and how innocent, and they just simply believe what you tell them. And we need to have that kind of simplicity of faith when it comes to the things of the Lord. We need to be easy believers when it has to do with what God promises us. Become a child again. It's very simple. God, I'm just going to believe what you said. I don't see it, I don't feel it, but I'm going to believe what you said. And when you start just really trusting in Him, you start to see some evidence of that. Faith has evidence. Faith has substance. Isn't that what Hebrews 11:1 says? It has evidence and it has substance. It's not blind faith. That would be superstition. But this faith we're talking about has fruit. It has evidence. Are you with me today? And so faith in God, you know, is the starting point. But then there is a gift of faith and there is a release of the faith of God. That is something that comes down from heaven that is imparted and given to us. And this kind of faith is mountain-moving faith. This is the kind of faith that advances the kingdom of God. Come on. We need to be advancers of the kingdom of God. We can't just sit around and talk about our salvation all day long. We need to get busy for God. And to do that, we need to receive something from Father that will impart something into us that will give us that God kind of faith where we realize that, you know, God can do it. All I got to do is cooperate with Him, agree with Him, and God can do it. God can accomplish anything. And God wants to use you. He wants to use you. Say, He wants to use me. He does. He wants to use you. He's not looking, as someone said, golden vessels. He's looking for yielded vessels. And a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we're going to talk about this, is not one that has entangled himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please Him who had called him to service. So the faith of God is really a faith that is speaking to that which is under our authority. That which is under your authority is that which is going to obey you when you speak through it. But if you do not believe it's under your authority, guess what? How many have been... I'm just going to use an illustration here recently. There was a woman coming down the street out here. And there was a little dog that was running ahead of her. And my little dog Cookie was out there. And she was just like, you know, she's embarrassing sometimes because she goes... Aah! I'm thinking the neighbors are going to call the animal protection people out here because she gets so excited. It sounds like she's being abused or something, you know. But she just does. She has this weird, and even kids who were walking by, they go, "There's that dog that has that funny sound." but she came up with this dog, and I thought she, you know, just walking the dog. And so they're visiting through the fence, Cookie and this dog, you know, nose nuzzling or whatever they do, and. And then the dog started to go on, and then she starts to walk after the dog. And she's calling out to the dog, and she's calling out, I'm just going to call the dog Bowser, okay, to protect who was involved there. And Bowser, come on now, Bowser, we need to go home. And Bowser's going like... And I mean, she walked, literally, I almost said something, but I said, no, I better not. And Bowser walks around, and I mean, she's walking, just kind of like this passive thing, you know, walking behind the dog, and the dog's just like completely like, I'm going to do what I want. She didn't realize the authority she had to simply speak with a command to that dog, say, come, you know, so I'm not going to do that to Cookie, especially if she gets on the trail of something. She loses her mind, you know, I have to be louder than the thing that she happened to see, you know, that she's going after. But what you have authority over will obey you. But if you do not believe that you have authority over it, guess what? It's going to disregard you. And so the faith of God is that which empowers us, enables us to speak even to a situation and see change. Even to speak to demons and command them to go. To speak to sickness and disease, amen, and see it leave. And so these are important that we understand what faith is, and we're not putting our faith in just faith. You know, some people, their whole focus is faith. No, it's God who is our focus. It's the Lord Himself that we are focusing on. We are putting our trust in the Lord as Savior, but also as Lord. And as Lord, therefore, we come under His authority. And while we're under His authority, then we have authority. It works that way. There's some people that want authority in the Spirit, but they don't place themselves under God's authority. And you can get into some real trouble doing that. Ask the seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts, right, about that. Who took it upon themselves to cast out demons in the name of Jesus, who they didn't even know, really. He didn't know them either. So if we're under authority, you have authority. We are to impose order on chaos. Make the crooked places straight. We pray and we worship the Lord, and the faith of God is released in us. It comes to a place where faith has arisen in our hearts. Are you with me? This morning, that's what's going on, right? Faith arises in the hearts. And then it becomes easier to see the miracles of God. It becomes easier to believe because there's an impartation of the gift of faith. And once that comes, boy, it starts to click. It starts to happen. You begin to see things. And so the reason why I want us to focus on this thing called faith initially is because as soldiers, we have to have complete, total faith in our commander in chief. That he's given us our marching orders, he's given us our assignments, and he's given us his authority to go in his name as representatives of him on the earth. And so we need to know who we are, what army we belong to, that we're not orphans, that we're sons and daughters of the Most High God, and that He has brought us under His roof, amen? And He's put His uniform on us. He's put His armor on us. But just like any good soldier, you got to put that armor on. You got to put it on with prayer, amen? And so we are to declare war on the kingdom of darkness. Now, this is where some are just not going to go. They're going to be content just to be passive in their walk and their relationship. And you know what happens when you become passive in your relationship? Usually, you just get beat up all your life by the devil. Come on now. I mean, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and I was part of the peace movement and all that, you know, all the stuff about the anti-war. And, you know, I'm not saying I agree with a lot of things that our government does. But how many realize there's a time of war? The Bible says there's a time of peace. And if you don't understand that, and if we just think that we're going to, you know, think globally, that we're, you know, we're just going to kind of sit around and drum for peace. I want you to know that there's some real enemies out there. Say, go ahead and drum for peace. Drum all you want. While we're building up our military and we're preparing to stomp you, you sit around and you drum for peace and see how far that's going to get you. I'm just using an illustration for something that can happen spiritually if we become passive. And the devil will beat up on a passive individual. Because we're engaged in warfare, we have to be strong in the Lord. We have to know that our armor is on, and we need to know how to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. We need to know the Word so that we can combat the enemy of our soul. If we are going to advance the kingdom of God, we cannot be passive. We cannot sit around and say, God, take care of the giant. God, take care of the giant. He's saying, what's that in your hand? It's a sling and five stones. Go after him in my name. You see, we can't sit around and wait for something to happen. We need to be listening for His voice. There's a time when we are to pray and we are to listen. And then there's a time of action when we need to step out. And we need to know what time is what. What time it is. Because if we don't, and we haven't prayed and we haven't listened and waited on the Lord, and then we step out, we're in another world of hurt. And sometimes, you know, I get pressured because, you know, sometimes we get excited as believers and we're just wanting to go get it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm kind of a go-getter too. And so thank God for Jesus. She's kind of the governor in my life at times. She's a tether, you know. All right, come on down now. It's not time to go yet. But we balance each other out. But we are soldiers in an army. And this army, the awesome thing about this is an army that cannot lose. Ultimately, we win, you know? We know that. Not only do we need the blessings of God to be a blessing, but we need to fulfill the purposes of God. Are you with me? It can't be just a bless me club, folks, as much as we like to be blessed, you know? We get blessed so we can be a blessing, right? But we come also to be equipped for the working of the ministry. Every one of us here in Christ is a minister. It's not just me, amen? We're all ministers. We've all been called and all been given an assignment and a realm of influence. And so you need to know what's under your authority. You need to know who you are in Christ. And you need to know that, you know, if you're going to speak to a thing, you know that thing's under your authority. You're not going to say, well, maybe, possibly, if you will. Lord, if it's you will, you know. When we pray, come on. Jesus said, believe in your heart that you receive it.
Right.
Become a child again in your theology, folks. And just say, okay. Forget everything else I've been taught. I'm learning a few things. I'm just going to approach this as a child again. Jesus said. That's why kids receive so easily, because Jesus said.
Amen.
And pray for the sick. You know? We need to have that kind of thought. Amen? That the same mind that was in Christ, who simply yielded up everything to the Father. And you know, he laid everything else down. He laid himself aside. He didn't have a personal agenda. He went by the Father's agenda. Father, what do you want me to do today? Father, who do I heal today? As he went to the Pool of Bethesda, remember, he didn't just heal everybody. He went to one man. That was his assignment. So we need the revelation to know what God is doing so we can do the same thing. We need to hear what God is saying so we can speak the same thing. Faith in God is necessary for salvation, but it is the faith of God that advances His purposes in the earth. Now, let me say something about discipleship. When we say discipleship, what most of the time do we think about when we say discipleship? We think about sitting around in a classroom. Come on. Now, sitting around in a classroom is important. Not just sitting around, but maybe learning too while we're there. But when we're learning His ways, you know, we got the textbook right here, right? We got the textbook. It's not enough just to ever be learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. The knowledge of the truth produces fruit, produces change. It advances the kingdom. So we need to come to a place where God said, we're to do this. Time to practice. Get out of the boat. Get out onto the water. It's time to practice walking on the water. Well, you may go down a few times, but if you keep at it, you're going to learn how to walk successfully on the water. I haven't learned how to walk successfully yet. I usually go right in when I try to walk on water, but how many know I'm not talking about literally walking on water? I'm talking about believing God to do the impossible, because His assignment for us, His call for us is bigger than we are. It is impossible for us to do naturally. Real faith of God is that which is impossible for us to do naturally. Otherwise, it would be of us, you see? And there are a lot of Christians that live within the realm of just them, of what they can do. But God stretches us beyond what we can do. He wants us to get out there where He is, on the water. Jesus was on the water. So we want to get out of the boat and get onto the water where Jesus is. And we know that He's going to lift us up. If we start to sink, what did Jesus do? Sorry. He reached out and He grabbed him. You know what? Jesus really liked Peter. I want you to know Jesus liked Peter. Jesus saw something good in Peter. He liked the tenaciousness of his faith, the fact that Peter was the one that was willing to say, well, you guys can sit here if you want. I'm going out on the water. We need a few more Peters in the body of Christ. Because later on, you know what happened? Peter had to be broken, though, before he could really be useful. He had to be like that horse that was broken so it could be user-friendly, right? Because Peter was full of Peter. And you know what? We're all naturally full of ourselves. Let's be honest. We are. Naturally, we're full of ourselves. So we've got to learn how, what it is to be selfless so that we can take on the nature of Christ, the character of Christ, and that we can be moved and motivated by the love of God, by the Spirit of God, and to take our directions from our commander-in-chief, to place ourselves under his authority so we can have real authority in the Spirit. So it's not about just attending another class, even though we need to do that. Discipleship is equipping that should ultimately result in the believer not only becoming like Jesus, are you with me, but actually doing the works that Jesus did. How many believe today that we're supposed to do the works that Jesus did? Yeah. Jesus said that. What is that? Preaching the gospel? Healing the sick? Casting out demons? Making disciples of all nations. God will confirm His word with signs following, accompanying signs. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is when Paul was speaking to Timothy, his son in the Lord. And he was giving us this this picture of being a soldier in the Lord's army. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. What are we supposed to do? Folks, this is our calling. We are to do what? To be equipped and to equip others to do the work of the Lord. But then he said, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Has anybody realized by now that the Christian life isn't always easy? No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Yeah. So what are the qualifications of God's soldiers? Now, if you ask the world that, and if they didn't know any better, they would probably say, well, you got to be smart. You got to be highly educated. Come on. You got to be charismatic. You've got to be popular. You've got to be good looking. Thank God that none of that applies to me. What are the qualifications of God's soldiers? Come on. Hold your finger there and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to talk about the qualifications. Verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh. He didn't say that all, but he said not many wise according to the flesh. Not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in His presence. What are the qualifications, folks? I want to tell you, God is choosing the foolish, weak, base, despised to serve in His army. Anybody feel better now? In other words, He's not saying that everybody's like that, but He's saying that it's not about our own human qualifications. It's not what you can do naturally that's going to affect change in the spirit world. It's you and I coming in to an encounter with God, amen, into a relationship with God, whereas we hear His voice. We know what He's doing. We're walking in unity with the Spirit of grace. Are you with me? And as we walk with the Lord, we will affect change in our atmosphere, in our world around us. We will be change setters. We will affect change. God wants to use you, and He wants to use me to advance His kingdom. And so, when we hear that, we're saying, oh, but it's, Lord, I, like Moses, I'm not eloquent of speech. And Moses, you know, had a stammering tongue and he stuttered. And so, you know, he was trying to use that as an excuse to not do what God was calling them to do. Has anybody ever given God an excuse before besides me? Oh, yes, because when God tells you to do something, you're scary sometimes. It's like, but God, I can't do that. That's right, and you're perfect. You're just the one I need. Now, remember Peter and John in Acts 4:13 when they saw the boldness of Peter and John? You know? And they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. We know that. What's the key here? Being with Jesus. You want to accomplish God's will for your life? Hang out with Jesus. Walk with Jesus every day. Obey Him in the little assignments He gives you every day. Start working on, if He says, call this person, pray for this person, go over here, do this, do that. Whatever He tells you to do, like Mary said, do it. But start working on the little assignment. If you want to be great in the kingdom, be a servant. Serve others. Amen? What can I do to please you today, Father? How can I be a blessing to you today? How can I minister to you today? Amen. So we must, number one, accept the call that God has for you to enlist in His army. Number two, we must choose to live a separated life. That means in verse 4 that we cannot be entangled with the affairs of this life, that we may please Him who called us. And some, the Bible says in Matthew 13:7, fell among thorns. And some of the seed fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them, and they became unfruitful. You know, there are many Christians, unfortunately, especially in our culture of prosperity, who have been drowned because of prosperity. And you know, sometimes the best thing that can happen to us is that we're not... We don't have a lot of money. Come on. Not all of us. It's not good for everybody. Some people are good managers, good stewards. You know, if they have it, they're going to give and they're going to bless the kingdom and they're going to advance the kingdom. Amen? Because to whom much is given, the same much is required. But there's others of us that, you know, it's not a good thing to have a lot of money, because what happens is that thing becomes our savior. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of Christians have fallen into that trap of the God of Mammon, you know, being the Savior, or the bank account. And the Lord is trying to teach us, are you with me, to trust Him. He's trying to teach us that He will be faithful, that He will come through for us. We're going to be stretched sometimes to where the maximum capacity, where you're thinking, God, when is this all going to end? When am I going to get my promotion? When are things going to change in my situation? How many know that God is faithful? God will come through for you. Start, amen, put out the negative confessions and start confessing faith. Start believing God. Start saying the right things. Start sowing in the Holy Spirit. And whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Thank you, Jesus. You promised to provide for me. I'm not seeing it right now, but You are my provider, and I know You're going to come through for me. Your Word says it. And guess what? I'm not going to accept any other voice except that. We don't accept any other voice except the voice of the Lord. You know what I'm saying? The voice of truth, as the song says, tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid, because He's going to be with us. And even when we walk through the waters, He said, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. You know, when we took a vow, how many served in the military here? Quite a few. Yeah, myself included. When we took a vow to serve our country, what we were saying, basically, is I'm no longer my own. How many heard that? You're now property of Uncle Sam. And boy, they made that very clear in basic training, didn't they? How many know that there is a basic training in the Spirit too? Yeah. And we're going through the training, and sometimes it gets pretty tough. And sometimes you wonder what's going on, and is this ever going to end? Am I ever going to get out of basic training? Yes, you will, if you have the right attitude. Otherwise, you may have to be what they call a reprocess, right?
And you have to keep going through and going through and going through. There's some guys that I think three or four times they'd gone through. I forget the exact term they use for that, but recycle. They recycle, yeah. And I said, no, I'm only going to do this one time. I want to get through this thing. Amen? So I can get to my regular duty assignment. And how many know that you cannot perpetually live in basic training? There's a time of training and there's a time of soldiering. There's a time when we start to implement and utilize the weapons of our warfare, when we learn what they are. I mean, I grew up, you know, shooting guns, so I understood that. But some guys, they came from the big city, you know, and they got out there. Well, they had guns too, some of them, but some of them never actually handled a rifle before, you know. And they thought you had to shoot them like this, you know. Because it looked cool anyways. But they had to learn this. This is your weapon. They needed to know how to take it apart, how to put it back together, and how to shoot it. How to shoot it right. And it's not enough just to have a weapon in your hand. You need to know how to use it. Are you with me today?
Yeah.
It's not enough just to have all kinds of Bible study and Bible knowledge and Bible this and Bible that. It's about applying what we learn. Application of the truth in practical ways in our world. How many know that sometimes you can be totally spiritual and simply go over and help somebody out with their kids? All right? It's not always about, you know, the manna. We talked about in some churches even, they've had manna fall from heaven. Literally, they've had manna appear. Guy used to open his Bible up and there would be manna in there. And they could eat it and it was sweet, like coriander seed, just like the Bible, it was real manna. And we love to see that. And we have seen appear, we've seen gold dust, you know, appear and disappear. It's appeared on us, it's appeared here, and it's disappeared. And that's why we know it's not from the flags when it disappears. Otherwise, maybe we're just sprinkling the flags up here. But God sometimes just breaks through and He shows us things and He lets us know that I'm among you and I'm with you. And do you know that, you know, the miracles, often the healings are signs too. And they're signs sometimes to help the faith of the believer, but also for the unbeliever. So that they may see that Jesus Christ is alive. Amen. That truly He is the Lord. Especially when they see Him conquer the devil in somebody's life. Because there's a lot of people that worship the devil simply because they think He has more power than God. Well, that's a lie. We know that's not true. But we need to learn how to use our weapons. And we're no longer our own. And we must live a consecrated life. And Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. How many of you have done that today? How many realize that you can come to church till you're blue in the face and you can attend all the meetings and do all the stuff, but if you don't learn this principle, if you don't come to the place where you say, I'm done with myself, I'm done with the past, I'm done with sin, from here on out, I am going to submit myself to God, I'm going to present this body to God as a living sacrifice. Holy, pure, amen? Acceptable to Him. This is my reasonable service based upon everything that Jesus has done for us. Would you not say it's only reasonable that we would now give Him the rest of our days to serve Him? And if we're going to be a soldier and we're going to affect change in our world, we must be consecrated. We must be set apart to the Lord and we must live for Him. Because I'm no longer my own. I'm now property of Jesus Christ. Amen. I am now a citizen of heaven. That's my first citizenship. My second one is the United States. We must possess the ability to persevere under hardship. Some of us know when you went through basic training, I seen a guy who, I mean, literally he was a gangbanger from Brooklyn. And he was crying like a baby in basic training, crying out for his mama in the room. And how many of you know we must be able to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ?
Right.
Now, guess what? Don't think for a minute that you have what it takes in yourself to do that. Peter thought he had what it took. Oh, Lord, I'll never deny you. I'll break out the big guns, you know. Peter had to learn, didn't he, that what he was engaging in was bigger than him. And even the peer pressure, man, made Peter crumble. And he had to be broken from self-sufficiency. He had to get to a place where he realized that he could no longer live for Christ in his own strength. He must now die to himself and take up his cross daily. He must now submit himself to his lordship. He must now drink of the living water. Amen. He must eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, in the sense that he must commune with God in order to have the inner strength, the strength of the heart that he needed to overcome the world and to effect change, to advance the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. God doesn't want you just to overcome in yourself. He wants you to overcome in yourself so that you can help others get over and become overcomers. So we can minister to others. And in the areas of your obedience, in the areas where you have overcome, now you can turn around and you can help another person in that area. Whatever you have received from the Lord, you can give. So the Lord is the one who equips. The Lord is the one who does the miracle. But once He imparts something and He does something for you, it's not just so I can look spiritual, you know. Come on. But we receive the power of God so that we can effect change. We can advance the kingdom of God. You know, it's no mystery to any of us here, I'm sure, unless we really had our head in the sand, that we are living in some really perilous times. A lot of things are changing very quickly. And folks, how many believe that America is also changing very quickly? And things are going to happen suddenly. And I think like never before, we need to stay close to God. Because only those who stay close to God are going to be protected. I believe there's going to be supernatural protection for the people who stay close to God, who are not wishy-washy in their walk, who walk with Him faithfully, that God will supernaturally protect you. Why? Because God's going to preserve your life because you are affecting change. Because you are a kingdom advancer. He's going to protect you because He's going to need you and I for the work that He has. And when the multitudes are coming and say, "What must I do to be saved?" When all the artificial security blankets are gone, all the money and everything that people trusted in, and they're going to look at you and they're going to say, "Now this person has got peace though. They've got joy. They seem to have it together. Even though the world is crumbling around them, there's something about them that gives them a stability that I don't have." And let me say, I give you Jesus. He's the reason. Amen? He's the one who will sustain you. He's the one that will protect you. He's the one that will provide for you. Even if God has to bring manna down from heaven, folks, or water from a rock, He can do it. And I believe the Lord has been breaking through and showing us things just to say, "I'm with you. Don't you worry. Trust in me. Walk with me closely and carefully. Because we are soldiers in His army. He's going to take care of His troops. He's a good commander." So 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. I'm almost through. He said, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." But what did he say? "But rejoice." When you're going through some stuff, what did he say to do? Grumble? No. "Rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ..." Are you listening, young people? If you are reproached for the name of Jesus, if you get picked on because you are a follower of Jesus, because you're not selling out to the world, but you're truly staying true to Him, if you get picked on for that, He says you're blessed. Blessed are you. Why? "For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part He's blasphemed, but on your part God is glorified." Hallelujah. In other words, folks, we need to make a decision that we're going to destroy the works of the devil. We're not going to jump in bed with the devil. We're going to destroy the works of the devil. We're going to advance the kingdom of God.
Because we know that God is with us, God is for us, and if we're persecuted for His name's sake, great will be our reward in heaven. If we die for the sake of Jesus, great will be our reward in heaven. And it's just a sign that God, His Spirit is upon us. Hallelujah! I don't want to lose. All right, I don't want to lose ground. I want to gain ground. I don't want to be passive and sit around for something to happen. Amen. I want to see something happen. And that's going to happen when you start calling on the name of the Lord. You start seeking Him. Hallelujah. God's going to change. He's going to shift things in your own life. Thank you, Lord. Finally, we must be emptied of ourselves. In order to have the mountain moving faith, folks, and this is something we're all, how many want to have mountain moving faith? You should. If you didn't have your hand up, you should. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I want to be great in the kingdom of God. Yeah. Now, if I just happen to be a doorkeeper, that's cool. I'm there, right? But I do want to be great in the kingdom of God. I don't care about the world. I don't care about the opinions of people. You know, whether the world loves me or not, that's beside the point. I want to please my master. I want to please the Lord.
Amen.
I want Him to smile and say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come here, let me show you what I got for you. Great is your reward." Because we're going to experience, I believe, an increase, and we already are, of persecution. And so we must be able to endure hardship. And folks, the only way that we're going to do that is that we stay full of the power of God, the Holy Spirit. That we are people of prayer, people of His presence. That we are worshipers. Amen? And how many know this is a house of worshipers here? We love God and we want to be filled with the power of God so that we can effect change. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I don't want to sit around in a rocking chair in a nursing home. I mean, if that happens, that happens. But you know what? My life, I want it to count. We have a few days. Amen? Let's maximize the moments we've been given. Let's do the most that we can to effect change for the kingdom of God and for His glory. Amen? Because we're not here. This is not our home. We're passing through. And great is our reward that's waiting for us at the end to see Jesus in that day and have Him smile. Hallelujah. Finally, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 4 and 5, Paul said, "My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom." Now, if anyone could wow you with a sermon, it would be Paul, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. This guy was highly educated. But it wasn't about wowing people, amen, for a reaction to say, "Wow." But what he wanted to do is make Christ known. We are to make Christ known. It's not about us. How many realize that? It's not about how spiritual I look even. It's, do we make Jesus famous? Are we bringing attention to Jesus? Are people wanting the Jesus that we serve because they see the reality of Him in us? Because they see the evidence of Him? He said, "They're not with persuasive words, my preaching, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." There are Pentecostal churches, folks, that aren't living in this. Come on. Yeah. Our faith is to be in the power of God. In His ability to do the impossible. In my inability is His ability. In my insufficiency is His sufficiency. So God is going to use you if you will say yes to the call. And you will determine that you're going to allow God, and gracefully so, to allow you to put you through the training. And when times get tough, know that it's all working together for your good. It's all working together for your good. Because God's producing something eternal and beautiful in you and I through the adversities and the difficulties. But He's also strengthening us. That's what Wayne was talking about this morning, how God is strengthening His people. He's making us strong.
He doesn't want limp wrist Christians. Are you with me? And this is not for the faint of heart. But we can't do this, folks, apart from the power of God. So we must be, if you will, gluttons for His presence. We must have an insatiable desire and a hunger and a thirst for His righteousness so that our lives will be filled with Jesus and people will see Jesus. They say, now that's a real Christian. The world has not got a grip on them. They're not living a compromise. They're living the truth because they walk in the Spirit. And if we do that, we will not give heed or gratify the lust of the flesh.